7th chapter of Daniel. The fourth horn of Daniel 7, there are four heads there. The fourth head in Daniel's vision, he saw four beasts. The first one was a lion, the second one was a bear, and the third one was a leopard, and the fourth one he couldn't figure out what it was. He just called it a terrible, dreadful beast, which was Rome. And in the 7th chapter, it says, "And I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceeding, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And he said, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things." So this head here is Rome, and the 10 horns of the head were the 10 provinces of Rome. That's the 10 provinces. And the little horn plucked up 3 of those provinces. That's what I've taught, that when the papacy, when he was given power, the 13th chapter of the book of Revelations, the dragon gave him his power and great authority. Revelations 13:2, I believe it is. And so might as well turn over there. Said the beast I saw was likened to a leopard. See, it's going backwards, showing the characteristics of Rome was like Greece. They had some of their characteristics of their civil government was like Greece. And the feet of it were the feet of a bear, Medo-Persia. And his mouth is the mouth of a lion, Babylon. And the dragon, which was pagan Rome, Caesar or Constantine, gave him, the little horn, power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and this deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. So that's when the 3 provinces rejected the Rome's, the papacy's doctrine of the Holy Trinity. They were Arians. They believed that there was only 2 in the Godhead. They believed in the Father and the Son, but they didn't believe that the Spirit of God was a person. And so they rejected the Pope's definition of the Trinity was that they were all equal in substance. They were all equal in power. They were co-equal triune Godhead manifest in 3 persons. I agree with the 3 provinces. That's not biblical. They were not. There ain't no 3. God is not in 3 persons equal, co-equal, or always existed. God the Father's always existed, but Jesus was a creation of God. God created him in the beginning. He's the beginning of the creation of God. And he's not as great as his Father. He said that. My Father's greater than I am, he said. How can a son be equal with his Father? You can't. And a son is something that's produced, not something, you know. God was never a son. He was just a father. He's a source of everything. So, but anyway, the 3 provinces rejected that doctrine and wouldn't accept the Pope as the head of the church. over those provinces, that wounded his head immediately from having power over that whole known world. But from AD 325 to 538, he meticulously plucked up those three heads or those three provinces, overcame them, destroyed them. The nine provinces that accepted that are still in existence today. England, France, Switzerland, Portugal, all those nine provinces are now nations, but the three that he plucked up don't exist today. He destroyed that. And so that healed his wound. And then the whole world wandered after the beast. The old teaching on this is that Martin Luther was the one that did this wounding of the head, but this just won't fit chronologically with what the Bible's saying here. Martin Luther also wounded the head again, but you can't use this scripture to say that. This scripture's not saying that. This scripture's showing what happened when he came into power and how, after the healing of the head's wound, he came into power, and the whole world for 42 months or 1260 years, he was in control of the whole world. That was a dragon or world power. Now, we might, since we're right here on it, we might look at the 17th chapter, because there is a change. There's 10 heads, there's 10 horns here, and these aren't the same horns as the 10 horns in the 13th chapter or in Daniel 7. It said, "There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I'll show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns." This scarlet-colored beast had seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, and the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Where didst thou marvel? I'll tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carried her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other's not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Okay, here, there's seven, these seven heads or seven mountains are, he goes on to show, there's seven kings. These are seven world powers. The seven heads are dragon powers. Five are fallen: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. One is, that's Rome, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. One is Rome, the other's not yet come. All right, and then the beast that was and is not, he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns that thou sawest are 10 kings. which hath received no kingdom as yet, but receiveth power as kings, 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called the chosen and faithful. And I might as well go ahead and read 15. It says, and he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are the peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. The 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God's put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the word of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over kings of the earth. How did it say that? Let's see if we go back.
Is this a different seven-headed beast? Because this is saying that whole beast come out of the bottomless pit.
No.
So it's the same one that we're talking about in Daniel 7.
No, it's not saying that about this whole seven-headed beast.
What did the beast itself saw?
Was and is not. Was and is not. And he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So this is, let's go up to the 10th and 11th verse. And there are seven kings, five are fallen. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. One is, that's Rome. And the other's not yet come. When he cometh, he must continue a short space. That's America. All right. And the beast that was and is not, he is the eighth. See, America will make a image of the beast and put the Pope back into power, and he'll be the eighth head. America will be the seventh. The eighth head will be the Pope of Rome coming back into power when the image of the beast is made, and he's the beast that was, and he is not. But yet he is when he gets put back into power. And he's of the seven, he is the eighth. He's the one that's coming out of the bottomless pit, which is religion. It's a religious system that has no foundation. That's why it's called bottomless. If you go back and study pit in the Bible, the horrible pit that men dig, but it doesn't have a true foundation of truth. There's not a foundation in all of religion out here. Don't have a true foundation. That's why Babylon in the Bible prophetically is talking about false religion, and here false Christianity, because that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a system of Christianity, which was exactly what the New Testament church was dealing with, the false religious system of God's people. It's like the difference between Ishmael and Isaac, the promised child and the child that Abraham and Sarah tried to make to fulfill God's will. See, religion out here is trying to fulfill God's will, but that ain't what God promised. And then these 10 horns are 10 kings. He goes on to explain these 10 kings, but you got to understand the other 10 kings, and in Revelation 13 is dealing with a total different time frame. There's still seven heads, but that one beast had 10 horns. Rome. But that's done away with. Three of the horns were done away with when the little horn came in. Now in the 17th chapter, it's not dealing with back there. When the papacy took over, it's dealing with down here after the image of the beast is made, and there's and to the image there's 10 horns, which are 10 kings that's going to agree with it, but only for an hour, and it'd really just be a prophetical hour. It'd be during the last prophetical hour they'll agree with the beast, because the last half of that prophetical hour they'll destroy that beast. See, America will go down in the very beginning of the last prophetical hour. Let's go back to Revelation 6 and work on that just a little bit. Because I know all this isn't clear in your minds, because I know how long it took me to get it clear in mine. And I'm up here talking about it, like it's clear to everybody, but I know it can't be clear in your mind, because it takes a long time to get this book clarified. In Revelation, the 6th chapter, let me just quickly kind of summarize it. Starts off with the seals being opened. There's 7 seals that sealed up the book that was sealed up in the 5th chapter. Remember, John saw a book sealed. It was written within and on the backside and sealed with 7 seals. Well, the Word of God is a sealed book. God don't open your mind, you'll never understand the Word of God. But it's a sealed book, and it was written within. The early church had it, what was written within that was given to them. But there was something written on the backside, which that word backside means that follows after. The book of Revelation is what's on the backside. It's what followed what the early church had that was revealed to John, the future. What followed after that took place until AD 70. God revealed it to Jesus, and he sent his angel to reveal it to John. And so he opens the seals. Now, you cannot, like we've tried to do in the past, you can't reckon the seals to be joined to the trumpets or the vials in a way that there's a methodical, trumpet and then a seal, or a seal and a trumpet, or a lot of men tried different things on that. Just won't work. Just remember this. Each seal reveals something. The first seal is a white horse. It's talking about the early church. It just simply reveals the rider of the white horse. The horse was white. The rider was Jesus. He went forth conquering and to conquer. Had a bow in his hand. He was, it's a military picture that God, Jesus, in the early church was riding on a white horse, and he was conquering the world for righteousness. That's what the white represents. But then the horse in the second seal changes pictures. It's a red horse. And they're different time frames too. It's just a 45 period of time that the horse was white. But then it turns red. And red is a picture. It's a picture of the Pentecostal era. It's also a picture. The rider on the horse there had a sword in his hand. He's given power to hurt men, and that happens during the Pentecostal era. There's a lot of knowledge of the Word of God, but very little wisdom, and that's a time that men can hurt people. Because they've got knowledge of the Word of God, and they can use the Word of God wrong, and they can hurt you. It's like a sharp sword. They can cut you all to pieces with it. If they don't have the wisdom and the mercy and tenderness of God mixed in with it, they're dangerous. And all of us are subject to that. When you get enough knowledge, if you don't get wisdom with it, you can be hurtful to people. You just have to understand that that's all necessary in the restoration of the church. But it's also necessary in the falling away. Then the third seal opens up. That's all the second seal shows. And that was, by the way, about a 100-year period. It was about from A.D. 78 to A.D. 178.
Between the first horse and the second horse.
Yes.
The first seal and the second seal.
That's right. If you can see, the church fell away. It fell down into a Pentecostal type era. People still had the Holy Ghost, but they didn't have the wisdom of God. They didn't have full sevenfold light. And red is the color of sin. Sin entered in. Sin got in people's hearts. That's why Paul said, after my departure, he told the church at Ephesus, the elders there, he said, grievous wolves will enter in, spoiling the flock, making disciples after them own selves. And so some of you, he said, will make disciples of your own selves, drawing away others. And so the church, you know, a lot of politics enters in, the spirit of man, competition and vainglory and all that. All right, then the church changes again. The horse changes from red to black. The black horse is darkness. That's what black represents, ignorance. And so they lost more of the truth, and they went into darkness. And they didn't longer even have the Holy Ghost. They didn't even know what it was for. They lost that. And that is a 360-year period of time from A.D. 178 to 538. And that's all that reveals, that there is a black horse period of time. It shows that there was, the rider had a pair of balances in his hand, saying, a measure of wheat for a penny and barley for a penny. Both are the word of God. Wheat and barley, that's understanding and knowledge. But there was so little of understanding and knowledge, and there was more knowledge than there was understanding, that it was scarce, just like a famine. It was a time of famine. The word of God, for 360 years, it was just a famished period for mankind and among the Gentiles. Then the fourth seal opens up, and it's the pale horse, which is the Catholic Church. It's the papacy. The rider on it is death. They didn't have a message that would produce life. It wasn't an anointed ministry. It was a man-made system of making men into priests and all of that, and it lost. God wouldn't anoint that. They weren't gifted men. They were man-made priesthood, and that's why it was death. It couldn't minister life. The whole system was. It finally, you know, that's why it's called 666 is the number of man, the body of it, the spirit of it, and the soul of it, the mind, the whole makeup of it was man-made. The whole mind of it, the ideology of it was man-made, and the spirit of it, therefore, is the spirit of man. The spirit of God's not in that. Wasn't in that. And hell followed with it. So hell, that's a religious system. You know, when you get a religious system built without God, and God's not in it, then you wind up with a hellish condition. It's a religious hell. Like the 26th chapter of Matthew says, you know, you do search. Jesus told those Pharisees and Sadducees, scribes, he said, you search land and sea to make one proselyte. When you find him, you make him twofold more the child of hell than you are yourselves. They were a child of hell in the world, ungodly world, or worship of idolatry, wherever they came from, and then you put them in a hellish condition in Judaism that don't have the truth. It's a man-made system. He said, you won't go in, you won't let anybody else go in. Called them blind guides, and you do shut up the kingdom of God, he said. So they're doors, but they lock people up in prison. And that's what Babylon is. Is you take on their ideology, you get locked up in that, and you're in a prison. It's a hellish condition. And that's the hell that Jesus was talking about. He said, I am him that was and is alive. And I have keys to death and hell. He had keys to what brought life. He could unlock. He could resurrect people from the death of the fallen condition of sin. And he could get you out of a hell, whatever hell you're in. He could get you out of the world, or he could get you out of the religious world, religious hells. He could get you out of either one of them. Okay, so that's those are. Then the fifth seal is in the ninth verse. It says, I saw the souls of them that were under the altar. Now see, this is following chronological order. And what this is people that were martyred down through the dark ages and cast aside, their influence was killed, and their souls are under the altar. In other words, they gave their life as a sacrifice under the brazen altar. There ain't no golden altar. Ain't nobody was under the golden altar during this time. These people are they are in first heaven, and they're holding on to God with what little measure of faith that they've got, and they wouldn't accept like a lot of the damnable doctrines or falsehoods that the Catholic Church was promoting, and therefore they were considered heretics or dogs or, you know, witches and warlocks. They were labeled as that, and many of them were martyred. And this, it's God put this in the Bible just to show I'm aware of this condition. I'm aware that there's judgment has to take place, because their blood is crying out to God. So that the seal opens that up and just shows God is aware of everyone that was martyred and destroyed and persecuted under the dragon system. And he said, white robes were given to every one of them. They're counted righteous. They were counted. That's why their white robes were given to them. And it said unto them that they should rest for a little season. In other words, they rest in the grave until God would resurrect them. If they died in that just condition, God will resurrect them. In the resurrection of the just, and they'll have an opportunity to make the bride. Now, in the sixth seal in verse 12, it says, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as the fig trees cast her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. This earthquake is when America goes down. This is when God will judge and take America down from being a dragon power. And it'll shake this whole world. I'll read on, I'll give you a little more on that. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. These mountains or nations and islands are they're the mountains of religions that are in different nations, and islands are small groups of people in different religious orders. You know, they're different bodies of people. And the kings of the earth, but they've all joined this system. Kings of the earth and great men and rich men and chief captains and mighty men and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. See, they tried to. Men are going to try to hide in their religious systems. When God starts judging this world, when America goes down, it's going to shake this whole world. Now, the way America will go down will, I think, that every major military base will be destroyed. I think it'll happen in one day. That's how I think it's going to take place. I think the Jews will do it. I think they'll bomb, they'll sabotage us from within. We're not. That's the only people on the face of the earth we're not insulated against. We have not insulated ourselves against the Jews, and they're in every power structure that America has. Financial first. Military, a civil second, military third. And They're not in our, that the only place they really don't have a hold is in religion, is in our religious power. The four winds, they're in three of our winds, and they've got enough power to blow and bring a catastrophic storm that's going to shake this nation down. And I just think that men like the president we have today is going to continue to make Israel mad and neglect them and let them continue to be the off-skier of the Middle East and come under the blunt of every persecution that the Arab world has to deal with them, and America's going to neglect them to a point that they're going to get their belly full of it. And so I think they'll retaliate at some point. I think they've got power within to bring some sort of sabotage in our military to bomb our major military bases. Just remember, there's more Jews in America than there are in Israel, and they may be Americans, but they're Jews first. Just remember that. Blood runs thick when it comes to Jews. Yeah. Anyway, and they've got nuclear power that'll reach America, and we are the ones that armed them with it. So I think they can bomb our White House, our Pentagon, our financial structures, and our military bases in one day. You think 9-1-1 was something. You wait till something like that takes place. And of course, I think America will destroy them in the meantime. When it happens, I think America will unleash nuclear bombs and blow them off the face of the earth. But it won't matter. It just won't matter. America's going to go down. But in that day, the branch of the Lord's going to be beautiful. The body of Christ is going to reach its plateau and its restored condition. And God will have already brought Jews into the body of Christ to get this mantle and to get this truth, and they'll carry this on, but it'll be through the body of Christ, not natural Israel. So America, I'm not saying America will be destroyed like, you know, just be Holocaust. No, it'll just be major military bases, financial structures, all of our records will be destroyed. The economy will collapse and go to nothing. And this country will be in the saddest condition it's ever been in, ever. It says that it would only continue a short space. This would be the shortest-lived dragon power. You know, America from what, 1776, isn't that when she came into power? Until, just say, 2033, 250 years, 260 years. Absolutely. The Bible's clear on that. The Bible shows that he'll graft them back in. It says that after 2 days, that's 2,000 years, after 2 days, let's look at that, and let's hold our place here, but just in Hosea, yeah, God's holding them for that very purpose. Because he's going to take them through so much that they're going to have to recognize him. And in the 6th chapter of Hosea's prophesying, and he said, come, first verse, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he'll heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he'll raise us up. After 2,000 years, that's the Gentile world. See, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. They got it up here on the board, Brother Weiniger. What did I just say? Yeah, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus is a picture here. The rich man was the Jews or Israel, and Lazarus is the Gentiles. And you remember, the rich man died and went to hell, Lazarus went into the bosom of Abraham. That's the covenant. The Gentiles, which were poor spiritually, went into the covenant of Abraham, but the rich man told God, he looked out of hell and he said, send Lazarus to touch his finger in water and touch my tongue. Of course, this is a parable, and what he's really saying is I'm thirsty for God. God cut Israel off because they rejected him. And Israel's been looking for God ever since, and they've suffered and suffered and suffered. And he said, though one would raise from the dead, you would. He said, well, send him to my brother, one of my five brothers. Well, there was the dispersion of the Jews under those five dragon heads, and the Jews were dispersed over that known world. And he said they wouldn't hear him if they even wanted to raise from the dead. And he was. Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and they still didn't hear the mouth of God that was the manifestation of God in Christ in the New Testament church. They wouldn't hear that. And he said, there's a great gulf fixed between you and him. And that was a 2,000-year gulf. The Jews can't get to God, and the Gentile can't get to the Jews. We couldn't come together this whole 2,000-year period. We couldn't convert the Jew to Christ. They wouldn't hear it. But after 2 days, after our 2,000-year world, and in the third day, he said, will he raise us up? And that is, in the very end of this 2,000 years, God's going to, he'll bring them in, he'll graft them back into the body of Christ, and during the 1,000 years, he'll raise them up because they'll receive a revelation of Christ, and they're the only people. You see, the rest of the world, if the bride's made up, the rest of the world is going to be ungodly heathen people. And there ain't nobody but the Jews that could carry this gospel down through the 1,000 years. The church would have to fall away again if that happened. But God's reserved the Jew in his wisdom for this very purpose. He will touch their minds because he will have put them through enough that they'll turn their heart. Not all of them, but there'll be a great number of Jews that'll turn their hearts, and they'll turn the rest of the Jews that can be turned. They won't all be saved. It'll be just a remnant again of the Jews, just like there's only a remnant of the Gentiles being saved. But down through the 1,000 years, a Jewish ministry with the bride of Christ helping Christ will turn this world, and one nation at a time will come to God and to Christ, and they'll become theocratic in their government. They'll take on the ways of God. And so let me show you right quick here in Romans, the 11th chapter of Romans, isn't it? Where he's telling us not to boast. Verse 18 says, let me back up to the 15th verse says, for if the casting away of them, talking about Israel, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, talking about it, Gentiles, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. Thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. See, they've got to have faith. He's not going to graft them in if they still stay in unbelief. But for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Verse 25, For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. That just means all of Israel that will believe and accept Christ. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. And concerning the gospel, they're enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. The gift and calling of God are without repentance. So God, yes, he's going to add them back in, but it's look how long it's taken him to do it. Put them through 2,000 years of hell. And finally, he'll have a remnant or a group. There'll be some that he'll be able to touch them, and they'll see through this manifestation of the Gentiles, they'll see of a restored church and divine order of God in the end of the Gentile world, they'll see Christ is truly the Messiah, and they'll accept him. That's the picture of Elisha being touched by the mantle of Elijah and saying, let me go tell my mom and daddy goodbye. and he did, and he took off following Elijah. And that's a picture of the body of Christ being touched by this ministry, or the Jews being touched by this ministry and our mantle, our anointing, and the Word of God. And when they see this and it touches them and they get it, they're gonna kiss Judaism goodbye. They're going to say, Mama and Daddy, we see that we've hung on to something that's an old covenant, and there's a new covenant that God's made through Christ, and we've accepted him, and we're leaving all of this and counting it nothing. It's all lost that we might win Christ, just like Paul said in Philippians 3. So that'll take place. Now, real quick, back in Revelation 6, these men, they're gonna ask in verse 16, they're going to say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who'll be able to stand? See, when God judges America, the image of the beast is going to be come under great scrutiny, and they're going to begin to cry out, thinking that that's their hope is in their peace and safety is in this beast system, or the image of the beast that's going to be built up. And they're going to be looking for God to do something to help them, or for those systems to help them. But it's the wrath of God, and there ain't going to be any help. Now, where I read to you in verse 12 that there's a great earthquake, I want to show you that this is a nation going down. Or it says, there's a great earthquake, and the sun became black as black cloth of hair, the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. All right, I'm going to show you when the lights go out, when the sun the moon and the stars quit shining is when God takes a dragon power down. All right? So look in Ezekiel 32. I'm just going to give you a couple scriptures that proves, because I think we got to have scripture. You can't just say, you know, this is what's going to happen. You ain't got any scripture to prove it. Ezekiel 32 is a lamentation over Egypt. Let's just read the first couple verses. It said, it came to pass in the 12th year, in the 12th month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say unto him, Thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as a whale in the seas. And thou camest forth with thy rivers, and troublest the waters with thy feet, and foulest their rivers. Now let's, for sake of time, go down to verse 7. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heavens, and I'll make the stars thereof dark, and I'll cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon will not give her light, and the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord thy God. I'm just wanting you to see that when God puts the sun, the moon, and the stars, or the lights of heaven out, he's putting a dragon power out of power. He's destroying a dragon power, a dragon head. This is what he was saying about Egypt. He turned their lights out. You see, every dragon power is the light to the whole known world. Don't y'all realize America is the light of this world right now? Every nation in this world looks to America for leadership. For what are we going to do? What's going to happen to our... Who's going to take care of us militarily? America's going to come in and take care of it. You know, what are we going to do financially? America's going to adjust the... You know, America runs to the protection of everybody all over the world. Well, every dragon power has been in charge, and they've been the light of the world. When God gets ready to judge those nations, he puts those lights out. He puts them out. They're no longer. When America goes down, the rest of the world look down on America like she's the scum of the earth. You know, that's what's going to happen. When we fall completely and the world see there's no more hope for America, then there are going to be thumbs down on America. There ain't going to be no more hope. There's no light. There's no reason to look into that dark nation anymore. The ten kings. Ten kings will come into power. That's why I say, right now, I say it'll be the United Nations. See, if that's already structured in the whole world right now, when we have a problem, we send in the UN. America's the thrusting mouthpiece of what we're going to do, but we always get the UN's help. You know, that's how we're getting the rest of the world to go along with what America's doing. Well, it's already structured, and instead of it being a literal 10 kings, 10 is the number of judgment in the Bible, and that's why I'm saying the judgment seat of the world will be the United Nations. Now, there may be something else happen between now and then. I don't see it happening, but you know it could. I might have change on that, but right now, the only thing I could see that could fall into place is being 10 kings is the United Nations. So, now, let me give you one more scripture in Isaiah 13. And I've got to get down from here. Boy, I come up here today thinking about Jesus and the little babe lying in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger and all that. Y'all messing up my whole day. Y'all got me lined out here on this stuff. You've heard the other story? Okay. 13th chapter, real quick, of Isaiah, and we'll wind up with this. Okay. It starts off in the first verse. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz did see. lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go in to the gates of the nobles. Drop down to the sixth verse. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It'll come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart will melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take a hold of them. They'll be in pain as a woman that travaileth, and they'll be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he'll destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellation thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cease and not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, for the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and to lay low the haughty of the terrible. And I'll make the man a man more precious than fine gold. And so here he's just showing in his prophecy here against Babylon how God, when he put Babylon as a dragon power out, he turned the lights out. See, we've always used the moon and the sun and the stars as the gospel going out, but really that was AD 70 when God put Israel out. See, we don't have scripture to prove what we used to teach on it. We got scriptures to prove how God, when he puts a nation out, he turns their lights out. His judgment and wrath comes on them, and he rejects them as being a nation, a dragon power. Or even Israel wasn't a dragon power, but he put the light. They were a light, religious light, back there to that world, and he put their lights out because they rejected him. So now, if you go back to Revelation 6 real quick, I'll end this up. In the last verse, it says, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who will be able to stand?" So now the seventh verse starts with the last prophetical hour, where he says, "After these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, behold, holding the four winds." He says, "Hurt not the earth, the sea, nor any tree." That's "don't hurt any of my people" that's in Christianity, the earth, or the sea, any of my people that's backslid into the world, or any green tree, or any tree. That's God's people that's not in, they're not in the world and they're not in Christianity. They're either in the body of Christ or they're a virgin. And he said, "I saw another angel having the seal of the living God, and he cried out with the voice of the four angels to whom it was given, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither sea, or the trees, till we've sealed our servants of God in their foreheads." And he shows right there, he shows 12,000 in each tribe of Israel. And that's a symbolic picture of the bride being made up down here. The church is spiritual Israel. It's symbolic. And that's 12,000 ruler, or 144,000 symbolic number, or governmental number, symbolically, that's going to be added to the bride out of the Gentiles. And then, or I could make that, you know, but that's happening down here, see, in the end of our world is why I'm putting it there. The bride's made up. They already been made up in the early church. Here they're being bride and made up down here and sealed. Then he goes on and shows the whole new earth, that the number that no man can number. And they wash their robes and are made white in the blood of the Lamb. He goes all the way down in the seventh chapter and finishes it even to the end of the world, into eternity. He finishes the whole work of God. That's what he's revealing in the sixth seal. All of this is the sixth seal, from America falling all the way to the end of everything, end of the 1,000 years. Then in the eighth chapter, he picks up, he goes back and shows seven trumpets. He goes back to the day of Pentecost and begins to go forward and starts painting more detail to the pictures of what happened, how we got down here, what's going to take place in the sixth and seventh trumpet. Because you still got to have more detail than what he's shown so far. So he just keeps going back, giving you more detail, adding more picture. All right, we'll work on some more of it later. That's a whole load for you anyway. If you can eat that and get it digested by morning, you'll be doing good.